First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yawning.
Hello and welcome to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're recording this on Sunday morning, June 5th, 2022. I'm Larry Rhodes, or Doubter 5, and as usual, we have our co-host Wombat on the line with us. Hello, Wombat.
Hello, I'm the Wombat.
And our guests today are Dread Pirate Higgs. Hello, Dread.
Arr!
From the west side of Canada. And George Brown 2.5 from eastern Hi. Tennessee. Hello, George. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in your town, well, you're just not. Here in Knoxville, in the middle of the Bible Belt, we have a group of over 1,000 of us. And we'll tell you more about that group after the mid-show break. Wombat, what's our topic today?
Today, we're going to be filling in the blanks and then going over listener comments. I'm going to have a fun time. And I guess before we get into filling in all the blanks, let's fill up on some noodles, courtesy of our own Dread Pirate Higgs.
Hail Marinara, full of spice. The flying spaghetti monster is filled with thee. Tasty art thou among sauces, and blessed is the fruit of thy jar, tomatoes, although fools believe they are vegetables. Holy Marinara, chief amongst toppings, save us a plate for now. And at about 6 o'clock, when dinner is served, if you would be so kind.
Ramen. I was worried about that because that invocation was a little bit saucy. Too saucy for us. Guys, this is the part where we check in on everybody, seeing how we've been doing. Dredd, how you been since last week?
Well, I've been pretty good. I had reported in February that I had received my security worker's license with my dry card.
Yeah.
And just a couple weeks, a week ago or so, I got a letter from them saying they were demanding it back. They made an administrative error.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyway, I'm now in pursuit of getting the ombudsman on this. I've, of course, over the last couple of years, I've tracked every conversation through email and have a lot to say about it, because essentially they're just confabulating, in saying that it's this or it's that or it's the other thing, when in fact they're expressing a clear religious bias. So, so I'm going to take them to task.
Well, good. Go for it. Good luck.
Good for you, and keep that ID card. There's no reason why.
Betcha.
That's the whole
point. You know, as it turned out, I actually got a call from a fella in Ontario who had seen one of the articles written about my efforts, and he has his driver's license with a colander.
Nice.
So there again, it's just another example that, you know, this is arbitrary not to allow us to do it. Mm-hmm. And that we gotta put an end to that. So,
also, is it just weird? But like when I have a picture on Facebook, whether I'm wearing headphones, glasses, no glasses, if I got a beard, if I got no beard, if I got hats on, if it's a sunny day and there's shade on my face, it still knows it's me. Like, what is all this? You know, facial recognition software. You know,
well, and this is the that's the pretense, right? And because, you know, certainly Sikh men. Are customarily, you know, those that are pretty orthodox about it wear turbans, and that doesn't interfere with facial recognition technology. Yeah. Neither does this. Glasses.
Well, yeah. Plus
is what if you shaved your face?
Take your glasses off.
Yeah. But, if you shaved your beard, I'd have a hard time. I would be like, is that Dredd? No, that's Dredd.
Yeah. Right.
But a computer.
Right.
But I mean, is there a law saying that there has to, you have to have your face recognized?
Facial recognition is this area right here. And that's it. It doesn't care about your head or the shape of your noggin or how much hair you've got on it. You know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So,
Larry, put a nail in this. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say that, is there a law that says your face has to be recognized by a computer? I mean, when did they start that? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that part of the requirements for your driver's license?
It is.
Yeah. It is. Just wait until they put barcodes on our nose bridge. Then it's just like, okay. Now we can put whatever we want on our heads. Just make sure the QR code right here is good. Larry, doing some biker riding, I've heard. Wow.
Yeah. I went out yesterday. It's a beautiful day. Rode for about an hour and a half. Mm. And you really can't beat it. I'm also playing a lot of computer games and, of course, still working.
You're playing EVE Online too, right?
No, I did for a long time, but I kind of gave that up. It's just too many games going on. So
there's too many games.
Yeah.
My ships kept
getting destroyed, and they cost a lot of money when you're in game.
They cost real money.
They can. Yeah. I don't generally spend that money on them.
I see.
I had a benefactor to begin with. And
are you familiar with a game called No Man's Sky?
Me? Yeah. Yes. I've seen some advertisements for it. Yeah. And some videos of it.
Okay. It's sort of like EVE Online, but not as monetarily costly.
Thing about EVE No Man's Sky is you play pretty much the entire game from a cockpit. And that would bore me. With EVE Online, you can see you're outside of each ship and you have many different types of ships that have different capabilities.
Sure. In EVE Online, you're playing in front of a spreadsheet.
Yeah. Well, you have that element of it, but it's live on the side of your screen. The main action is still action.
Sure. Larry is much more of a data guy. It's like, you got to give me some numbers. You got to give me some dice rolling. I need that stuff to keep engaged. George Brown, second and a half. How have you been?
Well, I'm okay. I'm engaged in the process of changing my operating system on my computers from one version of Linux to another.
Okay.
I need more software compatibility. Applications compatibility with my operating system.
Sure.
So and our very own Swedish Steve has given me some input.
Good.
He's been using a distribution called Manjaro.
Okay.
And he's been pretty happy with it. So he's been filling me in on what he likes. And I think I'm moving in that direction. There are about 2,000 different versions of Linux. Linux is not a thing. Linux is a whole Wild West show.
It's like atheism.
It's like atheism of things that don't talk with each other. nobody ever talks about that. So unfortunately, I cannot recommend Linux in any form to somebody who's not already a geek. Sure. And I wish I could, because the thing I really like about Linux is that, unlike Facebook or Google or Windows, it does not track me. It leaves me alone.
Sure.
You know, I can rely on my own privacy, at least within my operating system. So
at least within the operating system. Not bad.
Within the operating system, yeah.
Dredd, do not throw shade on this. Let him have his happy moment of solace.
I just wanted to let you know that Lo Ma and Dada's Trading Room are both watching live right now. So
fantastic. Oh, cool. Dada's Trading Room, we always appreciate your comments. Lo Ma, same thing. Feel free to throw in some more comments in the show. How about we get into it? We're going to be doing a fill-in-the-blank session, roundtable, first half of the show, with a prompt. And I thought it would be interesting to see. Oh, Sarah is also watching as well. Sarah says, okay, wait, we'll get back to her. The prompt is, just because you're an atheist, and then you can fill in the blank. And I can start with one. I'd like to get a round table on this, but my just because you're an atheist fill in the blank would be, just because you're an atheist doesn't mean you got a degree in something. A lot of people tend to take atheism as like an establishment or of some sort of intellectual pursuit or some sort of credibility in being a more reasonable or critical thinker. And it's not necessarily the case that that is the position someone would have if they're an atheist. Atheism is literally just a lack of belief in something. And you could have that from just never being exposed to what the belief claim was in the first place. Likewise, if you don't believe in something, it's not necessarily a demonstration that you're a great critical thinker. it's, if anything, it's just a position that you have before you may ultimately start believing it, or you might be in a position where you're still skeptical and haven't met your standard of evidence, and the standard of evidence is what you're trying to maintain, or maybe your standard of evidence is unreasonably too high. There's a lot of reasons why people may not believe in something, but the fact that they don't believe is the point of atheism. It's just the lack of that belief, and there's nothing more to it than that. It's just simply a position on a question on, do you believe this or do you don't believe it? Right. Yeah. And that, I wish we would just take a lot of the baggage off of it, a lot of the bad and the good baggage off atheism, and we just had it be, it's just a lack of belief and period. Which means if you want to convince someone that they're to not be an atheist, make a better argument for the thing that you believe, so to meet their standard of evidence.
One that's convincing. Their,
yeah, mm-hmm. What, make a convincing case, because oftentimes, you know, you'll deal with an atheist who've read the book that you've read. And if you they didn't see the same thing you saw, that's not a problem on them. That's a problem on you being a better marketer for the thing that you guys so ardently believe. So just because you're an atheist doesn't mean you have a degree. Just take it as a position like statement. It's like, hey, I don't believe that. I don't believe you when you say that. I come up with a more convincing argument. I'll get there. That's my just because you're an atheist. Larry, what do you think? What's your fill in the blank for just because you're an atheist?
Just because you're an atheist doesn't mean you have no morals, I guess is the Ooh. First thing. Because that's an assumption that a lot of people make, you know, a lot of believers make, that the only way that you can be a moral person is if you subscribe to the morals that the Bible gives you. And, of course, they don't take a very good look at the morals that the Bibles give you either. If they did, they would condone killing homosexuals, women who are not virgins on their wedding night and things like that, but they don't, and they just pick and choose. You know, of course, we have morals that are given to us or handed down through the society that we live in, and we have those morals because we develop those morals so that we can build a functioning society so we can live together in peace.
I dig it. I love the idea that you have to remind people that atheists have morals, because it's morality is so closely tied now by religious people to religion and theism, when truly that form of morality is lacking in so many different capabilities.
I also like to remind them that obedience is not morality.
Yes. Morality is a system of behavior. It's not a code of edicts. Uh-huh. George, what do you think?
Well, I'm asking myself a question, which is there a unified them? Are we guilty of overgeneralizing about this them that we're talking about? Are there deviations among those other people who are not atheists? So, there are assumptions that I think that many Christians make about us. And now here I am generalizing, but that's all I can do. I think that generalizing is the core of the human condition in a way.
Sure.
And I won't beat that one to death right now. But I think that for at least some religious people, we represent a threat to them.
Yes.
Because they envision us as being active in some way. And it's like my neighbor, I allowed to my neighbor that, this is a different neighbor, that I don't really place any stock in heaven or hell. And her response to this was, "Do you hate God?" Now, the Larry in my head says that hatred is an active state, and one has to put some energy behind this. And
that's a great point.
The Larry in my head says you can't hate something that doesn't exist. So that's my inner process.
Yes. You can always ask them. You can always ask them why they hate Santa Claus.
Yeah.
If they don't believe in something, doesn't mean you hate it.
Right. I like the I really like the idea of Christians are afraid of atheism because it represents a threat to them, right? Mm-hmm. And in the other way around, at least this is my perspective, I don't know if it's shared, but when I see someone that's an ardent Christian, I don't see that as a threat to atheism. I don't see that as a threat to my position. I see it more as a lost opportunity for being a bit more freer in their thinking. It's like a guy who lives next to a Walmart and buys only Walmart brands of everything. And it's like, you know, you can get socks from like Target or Amazon. It's like, no, I got to get the Walmart socks. It's like, everywhere makes socks. It's like, well, I didn't know. I didn't know. It's like, yeah, all these things you think belong to Christianity, family, happiness, like virtue, morality, like those exist outside of the religion. In fact, some systems are even better, substantially so. So it's like, I wish Christians had the opportunity to get out without the social stigma or the family reliance, the peer pressure of staying inside their codified systems belief. It's an empathy thing for me. Anyway, Dread Pirate.
Yeah. Well, you know, what do you think? Sticking on this morality thing,
talk to me.
You know, this idea that, that, you know, Christians, like, maybe they don't even understand that their belief is essentially that morality is by fiat. Mm. You know, is a thing moral because God says it so, or is a thing moral and God enforces morality through command? You know what I mean?
I agree with you. They believe it. They believe that because they were never taught what actual morality is.
Right.
And I remember that distinctly because I went into a morality and ethics class in college thinking I knew what morality was because I read the Bible. I had all the verses memorized, and it was a struggle for me to realize that it's not having the answers in the back of the book that makes morality. It's the knowing how to solve the problems as they may come to me in the front of the books, the unanswered questions, the system that I need to use to solve the questions. Right. That's morality.
And to continue, and just to continue on that thread, is that every advancement in moral behavior throughout civilization has been the result of secular efforts, not religious ones. I mean, the end of slavery did not happen because Christians were fighting for to free black slaves. The emancipation of women didn't happen because Christian men were saying women need to have more rights. Mm. This was all driven, you know, through secular movements. And
right,
mm-hmm. right,
yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, for sure.
So, George,
well,
I saw you raising your
hand. I have a hard time with the word moral, because I'm never quite sure what people mean when they use it. Ethics to me is a word that is more solid in my own mind.
Correct.
So I guess where I'm coming from right this moment is, okay, what do we mean when, among us here right now, what do we mean when we say the word morals?
Well,
we already have a roundtable topic. We'll get to it. That's a good question for the second half, but we're running out of time on this section. How about we, Dread Pirate? Why don't you give me the blank?
Okay.
Yeah. Give me some blanks.
Yeah. So, our pre-discussion about this was, I think, pretty good. That being an atheist doesn't mean you're irreligious.
Oh.
As a pastafarian, I'm certainly atheistic to the Christian God, the Muslim God, the Jewish God, Buddha, Sikh religion, Hindu religion. Pastafarianism for me is an expression of my agnosticism,
right,
towards some of those unanswerable questions about the universe and existence and what came before and what will happen after. Mm. So, I think my belief is, and, you know, the Pastafarian or the Flying Spaghetti Monster sort of as an avatar or, a representation of those unknowable things is as valid as any other perspective out there.
Yeah. And what I like also about Pastafarian in general is that there's no demand for worship.
Right.
And when I know that's the case, a being like that is, whether it's real or not real, is far more appealing to me as a spokesperson for like a belief system for me than one that not only is ambiguous in its existence, but also demands worship in it. And it's like, what are you doing? It's just like, prove you exist if you're going to demand that level of love or respect or fealty, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's like, you know, like, whereas the, you know, you have the Ten Commandments for Christianity, Pastafarian has the eight, I'd rather you didn't, you know.
I love it. Yeah, it's so good. I really do like it. Yeah. More. I have a Flying Spaghetti Monster baseball cap that I play disc golf with, just letting everybody know.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, I go out with that. And yeah, and I can bring it out next Saturday.
Yeah, yeah, please do. I want to get me one.
Every player that I've played disc golf with has either been either atheist or heavily Christian. But when you're playing disc golf, it's never a subject that's brought up. But it's nice to have the Flying Spaghetti Monster hat out at the same time, too.
Right, cool. I'd like to see it.
Yeah. George Brown, second and a half. Just because you're an atheist.
Fill in the blank.
Just because I'm an atheist? Does that mean that I have to have something to say all the
time? Sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because I don't. My head is full of nothing.
Sure, fair enough. Just because you're an atheist doesn't mean you have to say anything. And you know what? I'm happy with that because we just, like, I'll throw this out too. Just because you're an atheist doesn't mean that you're a representation or representative of atheism or that you speak for other atheists too, right? Because
I like that.
One of the things that I dislike when I have to tell people that I'm an atheist is suddenly be the representative spokesperson on atheism. Whereas when someone tells me they're Christian, it's never a question of them being like, well, explain to me what the Bible is and what your position is. Like, no, they just say it as a virtue statement or virtue signaling and they move on to the next topic. Yeah, if I say atheist, I have to answer 40 questions, right? About like, well, where do you get your morals from? How does this happen? It's like, oh my gosh, like, guys.
Yeah. Where did the universe come from? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what kind of weird thing could you say that you're into or that you are that you have to then follow up with an explanation of how the universe came about? Like, it's only atheism. It's only atheism. So we'd appreciate it if we didn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. Anyway. That's not a bad roundtable. I think, how are we doing on time, George? You got the timer.
Well, my timer is showing something like 2 minutes left.
Ooh, we did it just in the nick of time. we have a quick 2 minutes, though. So what do we mean by morality? Morality in my head is a system for how to conduct yourselves in a society, ideally towards the benefit of that society, in terms of maximizing welfare and minimizing needless harm. Ethics is a codification of those rules, essentially. Larry, what do you think?
There's a series of videos by Evidence 3. It says, why I'm no longer a Christian. But he said he was in college and he took an ethics course and he thought, this will be easy. I'm a Christian. I know all about that. Yeah, I don't have, you know, I just read the Bible. But the professor told him, he says, it's really more about how to do the right thing when the right thing is not obvious.
Right.
You know, he says it's more of how solving moral complicated problems in when you come upon them than it is a set of answers, like you said, in the back of the book.
Exactly. And it's not like riding a bike. You have to actually practice morality. Mm-hmm. Like you have to actually understand it to do it well. It's not by intuition. We're not genetically disposed to be good at it. We have to work at it.
Same with reason. Exactly. I was just going to say, Dada's trading room, he says, how about this? Just because I don't believe doesn't mean I'm an atheist.
Correct. I mean,
that's the definition of atheism. If you don't believe in God, you're an atheist.
It says you don't have sufficient evidence.
So there are people who would be
understand.
Like, hey,
what do you mean by it?
Why don't we get into that in the second half of the show?
In the second half of the show.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we'll be right back after this short break.
The Bible tells me I was made for and from man. And I must do for him everything that I can. I must surrender to his will, yeah. I must submit. I can't make the household decisions, cause I am unfit. It tells me my place with everlasting grace. Bible tells me I must be silent, you can't hear my voice. My role has been divinely defined. and I have no other choice. I may not be a teacher of men, I must cover up my shame. These are the laws of the one who in vain I cannot name. He tells me my place with everlasting grace, and my punishment for wanting to learn is a painful birth from which I may not return. The Bible tells me that I am unclean. I am impure, you cannot touch me. And it has nothing to do with where I've been. It is part of who I am. It is because I corrupt men. I was asking for it just by being a woman. He tells me my place with everlasting grace, and my punishment for wanting to learn. Surrender to his will, yeah, I must submit. I can't make the household decisions, cause I am unfit. It tells me my place with everlasting grace.
Welcome back to the second half of the Digital Freethought Radio Hour. I'm Dotter 5, and we're on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Let's take a minute to talk about the Atheist Society of Knoxville. ASK was founded in 2002. We're in our 20th year now and have over 1,000 members. We have weekly in-person meetings in Knoxville's Old City at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria. That's every Tuesday around 5:30. Look for us inside at the high top tables. We're usually the loudest and happiest group, and we can be out on the deck, so be sure to check out there as well. On Tuesday nights, we also have a weekly Zoom meeting, and if you'd like to join us on that, email us for the link at askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org or letschatse@gmail.com. You can also find ASK on Facebook, meetup.com, or at knoxvilleatheist.org. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you can still go to Meetup and do a search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one, start one.
Start one.
Wombat, where do you want to pick up?
Yo, I think we're going to pick up off Dread.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So, that is Trading Room. He introduced... This idea that just because he doesn't believe, it doesn't make him an atheist. Yes. There's a, and he introduced this term called igtheism.
Interesting.
And igtheism. I looked this up and see this on Quora. An atheist might say there is no evidence that God exists. An igtheist might say the concept of God is incoherent and talking about God is nonsense.
Very interesting. So, that does sound like a lot like Dada's Trading Room. I'm going to be honest with you.
There you go.
3 years of YouTube comments and great listener.
That does sound a lot like him. That's a good twist.
Here was my argument. A Christian is more atheist than he is a theist in the sense that they disbelieve in the far greater collusion of gods who have been proposed and only believe in just one of them. So, if you take a Christian perspective, it's like, well, they don't believe in Buddha, they don't believe in Allah, they don't believe in blah 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 blah.
All the other gods, Zeus, that we used to
Norse, everything, but they believe in just one. So, if you look at it as like a pie chart,
right, of all the gods that have ever existed throughout civilization, yeah,
Who we are essentially just someone who believes in one less God than what a Christian believes in or worships. Yeah. And in my head, that's what I meant. That's what I thought that is trading room meant is just because I don't believe doesn't necessarily mean I'm an atheist. It's like very true because you could not believe in the greatest pantheon of gods, but that 0.00001% that you do believe in would make you not want to subscribe to the atheism channel. So like, at least I get that. And Dredd, you're sort of hovering around on that point too, where it's like,
yep,
a lot of Christians don't believe in many other gods. It's like, when you think about it, Christians are also just, we're not so different. It's not like a black and white thing. Yeah. We're all largely atheists. It's just, we believe in one less God than the major players. George Brown.
Well, you know, I think it says in the Bible that thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's really interesting because that implies that there are other gods.
Yes.
And maybe the one that we got is not that good and we should take it back to Gods Are Us and get a refund.
Yeah, even God isn't monotheist himself. He's just like, step one, don't believe in any other gods. Two, I'm the only God. It's like, okay, this is a weird set of rules. Larry, what do you got?
Well, just saying that, no, it's like atheists don't believe for different reasons. For this set of reasons over here, they don't believe. And we disbelieve because we haven't got the evidence to believe, et cetera. Sure. But no matter the reason, if you don't believe that there's God, you would fall, in my thoughts, you would fall under the atheism camp.
Dredd?
Well, I was going to say that, as far as pastafarianism goes, there is actually some evidence that the flying spaghetti monster exists because, astrophysicists, speculate that in the vicinity of the event horizon of a black hole, matter is spaghettified. So, yeah. And in fact, neutron stars are characterized.
Your YouTube channel is bleeding into this. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Neutron stars are characterized as having four types of pasta states of matter that are characterized as pasta. Yeah.
And made out of subatomic particles that have flavor.
Yes. Exactly. Flavor quarks.
Yes. I also want to throw this out. I think it could be targeted. I think to an extent it could be targeted. If you don't want to subscribe to the capital A atheism, you can at least be atheistic to particular God claims.
Right.
And maybe you're not conclusively atheist to all of them. Maybe there's that one that you do believe in, but I think we can come to terms. And I think it's the point that we don't recognize as often that a Christian and me as an atheist don't believe in this God. So we're atheistic to that God. And we can find a greater list of things that we're atheistic to under the same premises that I'm atheistic to that one God that they believe in. But that's where the double standard comes in. And I feel like if we recognize that, we can get, a large number of theists to recognize, there's something very interesting in my manner of thinking here.
Yeah.
Dredd.
Yeah. And, again, one of the principal objects of pastafarianism is to reduce or eliminate the crossover of church and state. Because, it can't be assumed that everyone who, is a Christian or all those who believe necessarily believe that Christianity should be the rule of how the nation is ruled or how any state is ruled. Right. So, our push for the separation of church and state is just to say that we're all entitled to believe what we believe, independent of it being ensconced in law.
Larry.
Well, I was just going to say that earlier in the show, I was talking about different flavors of atheism, the ones that have never believed versus the ones that used to believe. So now we add another flavor. Atheism is just another flavor of atheism.
And to that, I would say we were all, whether you're religious or not, we were all people who didn't believe in the God. And then immediately or over time, we were indoctrinated into a belief system. Sometimes maybe not at all. And then there are the born again atheists, if you will, the people who recognize that they need to buck this, terrible dogma and go back to how they were before, but then also go through the recovery process of building up the reason and getting rid of the fear if it was, instilled in them on unnecessarily, fabricated supernatural concepts. And so that's a process that a lot of people use to like come to terms with like a capital A atheism. But like I can totally see how there's different flavors, but they all started from the same position, which is by default not believing in God, just being a de novo human being, like how George was, organic atheist and mm-hmm. like unaltered in their thinking. And I feel like we all started that way. And it takes a while to get back to that position again if you're taken off of it without your own intention. George, what's your thought?
Well, in deference to Dread Pirate, I can't speak with enough knowledge about Canada. But in the United States, of course, it looks like, from my perspective here in the Bible Belt, like we're heading, you know, hell bent on a downward trajectory into a theocratic state, and so when Christianity officially rules America, will the rest of us have to ride in the back of the bus, or will they simply just slaughter us? I don't know. I mean, in the Muslim world, Jewish people were able to coexist very nicely in the back of the bus. You know, it's like Jewish people paid an infidel tax. It was a small amount of money every year, and they got left alone. You know, everybody got along. Would it be like that, or would they come after us with machetes? And
eventually, right? So my thought process of that is we do have a president right now who's ardently Catholic, but also supports abortion and women's rights, right? Like that one of his first executive orders was, you know, women's protections, things that the Catholic Church would not support whatsoever, right? So it's not possible. It is possible to be both religious and dutiful to your position as a representative person for our government. And I would also say, if you go back 300 years, we're probably, I wouldn't say more religious than we are now, but definitely not more in favor of the welfare of marginalized people in this society, at least in America. I think we learn over time. And I think the voices who are complaining now are only getting louder. And I think we wouldn't have had that. We only gained that ability to speak up over time. So yes, can we become a theocracy? Possibly, but does that necessarily mean that we can start ruling in lack of favor of like many different groups of people? No, I think we can have both at the same time. But yeah, I see what you're talking about, George. Go ahead, Dredd.
Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, as we view the statistics of religiosity and the decline in the Christian majority, if yes. there really ever was one, is that, you know, the fewer voices there are to speak, the louder they tend to shout. And maybe that's, you know, a part of this, this, you know, apparent trend towards a theocracy.
Very good.
That it's you know, it's like the freedom truckers up here who, you know, are very, you know, represent maybe just a couple percent of the truckers overall.
Right.
Who decided they didn't want their shots. But, you know, they spend their time honking the loudest and, you know, obstructing other people's freedoms to push a point which is rather stupid. So, you know, maybe it's just a, you know, there's a mirror happening there, right? Just
you're hearing the
fewer
sound
and fewer people just getting louder and louder and louder.
Or an establishment, the death screams of an establishment falling up down, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. Like a tree falling in the woods does make noise, right? George?
Yeah, I think that's interesting, Dread Pirate. I mean, there you are in Canada, and I think, you know, we're the 900-pound gorilla. It's like we roll over in the bed, and you guys have, stop, you know, you're crushing me, you know? And I have a great amount of respect for Canada, and I realize that it's a place that is not without its problems, but not the same problems that that we have. And so my first question for you is, do you have the same problems as we do here?
Well, in a sense, we do, yeah, because of course we have a sovereign. And the sovereign is the titular head of the Church of England. And so therefore we de facto have a state religion, which is Anglicanism.
Yeah.
And so you actually pay fealty to the Archbishop of Canterbury, if I hear you right.
Well, yeah, whoever, yeah, the Queen's representative. And of course, you know, there's the Attorney General, or not the Attorney General, the Oh, the Queen's representative in Parliament. Hmm. So yeah. You know, it is, and most Canadians wouldn't even recognize that. And I've certainly, when I've said those very words, you know, kind of get the surprise. And then once it sinks in, it's like, yeah, you're right. That's exactly how it works, you know. And despite the fact that in the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, sections 2A and B refer to the freedom of religious expression, certainly I'm one of those groups that are not represented fairly
right
under that order, and which is what we're struggling against right now throughout Canada as Pastafarians.
Yeah, I see that. And we have, you know, something I'm sensing is going on, like what you're talking about, the blowing of the horns, you know, the people who are drowning and making the loudest noise, is that we have a resurgence of bullying going on in my country.
Yeah. And it's almost like it's coming out of the social media culture, where people are anonymous and unaccountable, essentially. You know, I mean, what does the sound of a horn do? It's monosyllabic. You know, if there was ever a monosyllabic word that didn't actually, you know, convey any essential meaning, that's it right there. You know, all other things are being subsumed under this.
Well, just to get back to the point.
Sorry about that, but we can wrap this up real quick. I'm saying as one final point, the sentiment was there. Now there's a microphone, right?
Right.
Okay. And before it was people screaming in the streets. Before that, after that, it was like script. But now there's a bullhorn, and it's begin people who have this dissent. So I wouldn't blame social media. I would say it's more of like now there's a better magnifying glass to see that degree of dissent that's always was present. We have a lot of listener comments that I'd love to be able to go through.
Yeah.
And one of them is from Free Thought Channel from last week's episode, which was on value by the Let's Chat podcast. Free Thought Channel says, great show, guys. And we miss you, John Richards. We're hoping to see you again in the future. If not, check out Global Atheist News Review. I believe they're doing a show even today.
Yep. We're doing it.
Dada's Trading Room, both in our chat and in our YouTube comments and in our hearts, said on our last episode, which was value, as usual, when we think about it, there is always going to be more questions than answers. And the deeper I go into the rabbit hole, the more new questions come up. I love it. Always keep asking those questions. Always keep seeing questions. It's a good way. And being willing to answer questions is really useful. We appreciate your comments, Dada's. We sometimes get some saucy comments. Latinite HVAC has replied to me saying, you guys mentioned Aaron Ra. He is ridiculous. I don't necessarily support that, though. I have had a conversation with the guy. He is very intense, but ridiculous. Maybe who knows?
I wouldn't say ridiculous.
Aaron Ra. He's a well-known atheist.
Yeah. Yeah. He comes from the fabric of argumentative feedback atheism. Like, hey, I have things to say. I'll have an argument with you. And it is an intense thing to try to curb us away from that, or at least show that there's an option to not necessarily be argumentative, but still have good points.
He's well informed on evolution as well. And he likes to go into the detail on that.
Sure does. James Molnar says on our episode, should atheism have popes? And we have a lot of comments on this one, guys. Should atheism have popes? Question, answer, no. Nice and short. But also, Dada's Trading Room had a comment on should atheism have popes? And he said, so wait, after your discussion, you want to have a global representative or president of atheists, and it has to be an American dude? And that's something that I don't think we necessarily considered. The nationality of a representative for atheism would inherently give power, political favor, to whatever nation or country got that representative to represent all of atheism, which is a global association, right? Not something I considered. And so I really appreciate that feedback. Next one, Inspire Reflection said, I love your videos. I really think we need more of this friendly, relaxed, and open energy in communications about atheism. Great job, Tyrone. Inspire reflection. Thank you. It's a good group that we have here. Also, Monster Hunter Videos said on the topic of taxes, taxes are neither Christian or unchristian. The Bible nowhere says it's right or wrong for a government to force taxes upon the people. Under a theocracy, people tithe, yes, but 10% of your wealth compared to more than 50% of your government taxes is two different things. Here in the UK, you pay an income tax, national insurance, VAT, after you've already paid tax in your job, council tax, carbon taxes, TV tax, road tax, and whatever other hidden taxes you pay on top of that. Even if you believe in taxes or right, that the level of taxation and extortion is outright robbery. You also have zero choices as to where that money goes, and much of it is likely to go to causes that are wicked or immoral. There should definitely be a cap on how much tax an individual pays. 10% is reasonable. Here in the UK, it's just robbery because you're easily paying more. He's going back into it. He's called it eventually wage slavery. Here's my thing. Taxation of any extent without representation is a bad thing. And while I have a problem with religion and government colluding with each other, I also see no individual representation of myself in religion. In fact, religion does not change in any capacity, regardless of how much money I give it. So it's just a question of whether it was already institutionalized to favor me or not. And well, go ahead, Dredd. I see your hand.
Well, I was going to say, here in Canada, of course, churches are given a statutory tax break on property taxes. And then remainder that they are not, the remainder that they have to pay tax on, they then seek relief from their municipalities. Mm. So $1 million property that may have a tax burden initially of say $20,000 a year, 90% of that is taken right off the books through statute. Mm. And then the remaining 10%, they go hat in hand to municipal city councils and say, hey, we're poor, give us a break. And then try to include their parking lots, outside of the actual places of worship. So it's not so innocent.
No, and not only that, but the comment was made, the Bible nowhere says it's outright right or wrong for a government to force taxes upon its people. I believe Jesus himself said, what belongs to Caesar, right?
Yeah. Give unto mammon what is Caesar's.
Yeah, he's like, your money belongs to Caesar. Caesar says he wants more of it. It still belongs to him. So give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Like, he's not saying only 10% and anything other than that is wage slavery. He's saying pay your taxes.
And Jesus actually promotes poverty, as a way of life, right? So
You don't need that money anyway.
You don't need the money. Give it all up.
Dredd. Oh, I'm sorry. Larry, what's up? Doubter five.
I was just thinking that if every church, institution, corporation, person in the country would pay 10% across the board, no exceptions, I think we could do that. It's just that we exempt corporations and churches. We actually give tax breaks to certain entities so that they don't have to pay any taxes at all. And in some instances, we'd actually give money to them as subsidies, et cetera. And if we just got rid of all of that and taxed everybody a flat 10%, I think it would be doable.
Yeah, flat tax.
Mm-hmm.
Am I allowed to say the CRAPPY word on the radio?
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay.
Talking about the actual thing. You're just talking about a condition of something else.
Say crappy?
Yes. So, Dredd, you got a specific response from one of our commenters.
Oh, okay.
They asked to remain anonymous. I was sure. About to say the name. The premise is, because it's a bit of a long talk, basically we've made a number of mentions in our videos about how the hallmark design is simplicity, and how when we look through the universe, we find a lot of unneeded parts and in fact hostility to life and a lot of unneeded complexity. And so their point is that complexity of the universe as an indication of whether or not a God is irrelevant, because what if God is just a crappy engineer?
Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. And like we say too, is the flying spaghetti monster was drunk for the most part. So when you put everything together, no wonder there are so many broken pieces.
So I have a lot of problems with that train of thinking, but I don't want to bias it. Dredd, do you want to give a serious, more serious answer to that? Or is that yours?
It's about entropy, right? So, if someone has questions about the apparent complexity or the brokenness of the universe, a better response is to study more, to learn more about the science of it,
yes,
and to increase your understanding so that you can, better sort of pick apart your own argument and decide whether or not it's valid.
You need to appreciate a frame of reference of what engineering actually is and what design actually is.
Yeah.
Because if someone tells you the world is designed, but you don't know what design is as a concept, like as a structural engineering concept, you will believe it and be impressed by how complex it is, or maybe how simple or varied things are, without appreciating that designing is all about reducing unneeded parts, making things as simple as they possibly can be, but still as functional or more functional.
Mm-hmm. And a very important concept is the blind watchmaker. Mm-hmm. And of course, Richard Dawkins wrote a book entirely about it. This idea of design being necessary behind the universe, otherwise it couldn't exist the way it does. Like, look at the trees, they're amazing. Mm-hmm. But, so understanding even how that argument is structured and what the responses to it have been will go a long way to sort of clearing up any fog that might exist around that question.
Yeah. Also, Matt Dillahunty has this great example of
course.
If you're in a spaceship and you go to a planet and you see this weird rock formation that looks like a spire or something like that, right? And you've never seen the spire before and you don't have a context of the environment to know how it was made. Can you say that was designed, or was it just earth, wind, and friction making that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And when you recognize design, it's not by looking at it and being in love with its apparent aesthetic. It's by recognizing the intention behind its fabrication, right? And if there was no intention there, or if there was no greater plan, then the argument that it was designed falls apart. And when you look at the world or look at the universe as a whole, there's a lot of trial and error. There's a lot of unneeded parts. There's a lot of things that are not compatible with each other whatsoever. And that's sort of the reason why we try to help people recognize what the tenets of design and engineering actually is, so that they can recognize it for themselves and realize that the universe doesn't fall to that same level. Larry, what do you think?
And that doesn't even get into like birth defects and things that just grow don't grow correctly after their inception.
Mm. Yeah. You also have, there's this thing called Occam's razor. Have you ever heard of that before? Occam's razor.
Yes, and I have no idea what this razor is.
Well, razors are philosophical razors of our way of cutting away the detritus around an argument to clarify it.
Oh,
right.
So
essentially the Occam's razor, the true Occam's razor, not as it's reported on YouTube, but is basically, it's not the simplest answer is the best answer. It is not that. It is the answer with the least number of assumptions tends to be the best answer.
Yeah. It still makes it work.
And so we have essentially two, but not a true dichotomy, but two options here. We have either God is a bad engineer or a crappy engineer, or maybe the person who's proposing that doesn't know what engineering is. And the thing is, that first point comes with all the assumptions of God, all the ideas of the supernatural, this giant ambiguous force that can exist that is also bad at engineering, right? Or maybe this person just doesn't know what engineering actually is and doesn't have a frame of reference of what actually are the hallmarks of it, and is calling everything engineering. The last thing I would say on this is another Matt Dillahunty thing that I like is when you go to that planet and you see that spire, you recognize design by comparing it to things that aren't designed, right? But if you are a Christian, or if you are a person who believes that God created everything, you don't have anything that's not designed to compare that against.
Right.
Because everything from the rocks to living organisms to buildings are all design.
Yes.
So if you don't have a frame of reference of what something isn't, you lose any justification for an absolute claim that something is the case as designed. You
exactly.
need to be able to have the frame of reference of a not and it is to make that claim.
Yeah. And there's the thing about the watch on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
If you found a watch on a beach, that would be proof that it was designed. Well, no, because it would be a watch on a beach of watches,
Yes.
A sea of watches. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Trees made of watches, you know.
Because like. Theoretically, everything is designed.
Everything's a watch, yeah.
Everything's a watch, right.
Yeah.
So basically, you need to know another simple example that I used to like is you don't know what a sock is. So you open up a drawer in your home and you pull out something that looks like a shirt, but you're like, that's a sock. You pull out something that's a pants. You're like, that's a sock. You pull out a sock. That's a sock. It's like, you don't know what a sock is and what a sock isn't. You right. need to first figure that out first before you start calling everything socks. Right. And then once you know what a sock is, you'll be able to see that not everything here is a sock. And that's the point of why we don't say God is a crappy engineer. We just say, maybe you should know what engineering is before you make the claim that God is the best engineer. Hey, what's up, Larry?
Just another thing real quick. We're getting close to the end of the hour, but you talk about circular arguments. When you're raised to believe that that God made everything, I mean, from the earliest age, you know, God made the blades, the trees, the sky, the stars, everything. And then later in your life, you point to those things as evidence for God, you know, say, well, look at the trees. You don't realize that you've been told that God made them, and you're pointing to them as evidence, which is circular.
Right. Absolutely. You know,
right.
It's a tautology.
Right. We really need to be wrapping it up, though, for the end of the hour.
Okay. So anyone have anything they'd like to plug? Dread Pirate.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. I am live streaming this as we speak. I do so on my YouTube channel, Mind Pirate, MindPirate. And I do that at 7 a.m. Sunday mornings, Pacific Daylight Time. So if you want to see this and comment, as a couple of people do regularly, sure. Just come to my channel. And if you like it, subscribe and press the little bell there so you get notifications.
Nice.
I also do the Global Atheist News Review at 11 a.m. PDT on Sunday. Very, very so
cool.
So my short plug, happy Pride Month. I'm asexual, but it's still something that I'm even still figuring out. So it's a good opportunity for everybody. I don't know, just figure out the people that are out there, maybe get a better idea of like where you're at and just have fun being yourself for the most part. George Brown, anything you'd like to plug?
I wanted to ask Judd Pirate if... in Canada, did you also do away with Standard Time as like we did?
No, we haven't gotten rid of it yet.
The threat, it's coming. It's coming.
I want
our province, our premier for the province is saying that this may be the last year that the change is happening. So I'm looking forward to it.
I am.
It's too. Blessed relief, man. It
really it's a miracle. You can't spell America without miracle. All right, Larry, go ahead.
Okay. My content can be found at digitalfreethought.com. Be sure to click on the blog button for our radio show archives, atheist songs, and many articles on the subject. My YouTube channel can be found by searching for Doubter 5 or Larry Rhodes. And I have a book on Amazon about atheism called Atheism, What's It All About? If you're having trouble leaving religious beliefs behind, and many people do, you can find help at recoveringfromreligion.org. Thank you for joining us on the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. If you're watching this on YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe. Remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life, and we'll see you next week. Say bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.